Hello, friends. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Campbell. It's great to have you here with us today. Today we are going to be studying our holidays article for the month of November. And as many of you know, the holiday that we will be discussing over the next couple of days is American Thanksgiving. All right, but before we get into our article, let me introduce my friends here in the studio. We have Brendan here. How are you doing today, Brendan?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me here, Campbell.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
How do you usually celebrate Thanksgiving?
With a lot of food.
Yes, Thanksgiving is a holiday about food. I usually end up really, really stuffed by the end of the holiday.
Yeah, and I usually tend to spend it with my family. We have a nice big dinner. Sometimes we have friends who are really close over, and we just enjoy each other's company and enjoy the food that was very well prepared.
Sounds great. All right, and we have one of our new friends here. Pauline, how are you?
Hey, Campbell. It's great to be here again. I'm doing really well. Thanks for having me.
Now, Pauline, how do you celebrate Thanksgiving?
Well, one of the crazy things about me and my family is we're vegetarian. Mm-hmm. So even people in the States will frequently ask us, what do you do for Thanksgiving? Because, of course, the classic Thanksgiving dinner has turkey, right? But we still love to celebrate Thanksgiving.
Sure.
We all still have some kind of big meal,
yeah.
And we still have the classic desserts, which are the most important thing to me anyway, food-wise, is the pumpkin pie.
That's right.
All the pies.
There's plenty of vegetarian food. You don't have to eat the turkey.
Exactly.
You know, and I'm sure there's fake turkey, right?
There is. I've tried it once at least. Josh's, my husband's father, when the first time I went to his family for Thanksgiving,
right.
He went all out and made what they call tofurkey. So it's tofu and turkey. It actually wasn't too bad. I was a little scared to try it, but it really wasn't bad.
Yeah, okay. Well, there are some options out there for those of you who are vegetarians.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, today we are talking about being thankful, and I mean, that is a huge part of this holiday. It's not just about the turkey and the food. It's about having an attitude of gratitude, right? But sometimes it can feel a little awkward, right, expressing our gratitude. Sometimes we don't really know how to say thank you because we feel like kind of silly or as the article calls it, sappy. Right?
Yeah, it's being thankful for something is very, it's very emotional, and it's very, it bares your soul and makes you very vulnerable.
Yes.
So that sort of thing can be kind of scary for people.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, sometimes it can get very emotional, and some people don't like to share their emotions too much. I personally am a very emotional person, and I'm okay with sharing my emotions, but I know some people can find it hard sometimes, right? So today we're going to be talking about ways that we can express our gratitude without feeling too awkward, okay? So we have a few tips for all of you today. So let's get started with our article. Our article is on page 36. So, if you have your advanced magazine, please do open to page 36, or you can join us on your mobile device.
Being thankful. Learning how to express your gratitude. Four simple steps to be truly thankful. If the thought of expressing your thanks conjures up visions of sappy speeches, don't worry. These tips for showing your thankfulness will make it less like pulling teeth and more like pulling apart the wishbone. Number 1, family. A lot can happen in a year. Your family may have added some loved ones and lost some. Perhaps a family member was diagnosed with a disease but has since fought it off. Take the time to raise a glass during dinner and let your family know how important they are to you and how glad you are that you all could get together. The sentiment will strike a chord with everyone. Number 2, friends. Do what you always do, throw a party. In college, Heather Schild and Nosheen Hadari combined their urge to throw a dinner party with the opportunity that many of their friends weren't returning home for Thanksgiving and came up with a Thanksgiving Day extravaganza. Now, it is an annual tradition. According to Schild, we are all old now and have jobs and don't get to see each other that much. So this has become a time to be with each other.
Hello, friends. Welcome back. Okay, for those of you who are just joining us, we are studying our holidays article for the month of November, and the holiday that we are referring to is, of course, Thanksgiving. And Thanksgiving is a time where we usually come together with our family and friends, and we enjoy a big meal, but most importantly, we reminisce on the past year, and we think about the things that we are thankful for. But as we were talking about earlier, sometimes it's not always easy to express our thanks, right? Because, you know, we feel vulnerable, we feel kind of silly. But today we are talking about some ways that we can do it. And I feel like this is a good article that is applicable not just for this time of year, but actually throughout the year. You know, it's always good to be thankful for the different things that we've experienced throughout the year, right? So we start our article saying, if the thought of expressing your thanks conjures up visions of sappy speeches, don't worry. What is a sappy speech?
Well, a sappy speech is a speech that is usually extremely emotional, sometimes a little bit embarrassing.
Right.
When I hear sappy, I think of tree sap, which is slow, it's sticky, and it's not something you really want to actually touch, because then your hands are just kind of sticky, and you're like, ew, this is a little uncomfortable. but when we use the term sappy for other things, usually it just means something that is incredibly emotional, almost in an embarrassing way.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I think of speeches at weddings, you know, people end up being really teary-eyed and really touched. I mean, it's touching sometimes, but it can be a little embarrassing if you're not used to that, right? Are you one to give sappy speeches fully?
I guess so. I think sappy has an automatic negative connotation when we use it in English, so I would like to think that my speeches are always touching, not sappy, but I suppose it depends on who's listening, what they think.
Right, yeah. And I mean, that's what we're talking about here, right? It says, these tips for showing your thankfulness will make it less like what?
Like pulling teeth, which is an interesting phrase, since I think anybody who's been to a dentist and has had their tooth pulled knows how much that is. You know, it hurts.
Right.
It's really painful, and it's not something you want.
Yeah.
So it's sort of comparing thankfulness to a painful thing that you don't really want to have done.
Right. It's we use this idiom often when we're talking about something that you really kind of have to force on someone, or something that you have to really struggle to do, right? Mm-hmm. It's not easy. But today's tips are supposed to help us make it feel less like pulling teeth and more like what?
Well, this says more like pulling apart the wishbone, which, of course, is another reference back to what I believe is a Thanksgiving tradition. Is that right, Kim?
Yeah, yeah. So the wishbone is one of our specialized terms, and we see that the wishbone is a V-shaped bone between the neck and the breast of a cooked bird. So it could be a turkey, a chicken, a duck, whatever. And traditionally, the bone is removed, and two people pull it, and the person who gets the longer piece can make a secret wish.
Have you ever done this, Campbell?
I have. It's kind of fun. Yeah. I don't think my wish actually came true, but, you know, it's just a fun thing. And I think the idea is that, you know, today's tips are supposed to make it feel more fun and like a game rather than a chore and a bother.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So, tip number one has to do with family. Now, what does our article say here about family?
Well, it says that, you know, you need to take a time and raise a glass during dinner to let your family know how important they are to you.
Right.
So raising a glass just goes from traditional, I think, European, when in, like, at weddings we have toast. It's a very similar concept. And to lift a glass in honor of someone or something, and then drink an expression of good wishes. That's what the phrase means, to raise one's glass. And so it's just hearkening back to older, at least European times. I'm not sure if it comes from elsewhere as well. I do not know my history that well.
Yeah, I think this phrase could be used idiomatically. You might not actually have a glass. You might say right. somebody's raising a glass to somebody's accomplishments, and right. you're saying they're praising them. But frequently, and in this context, it certainly is, I think, a literal suggestion right. to take up a, hold a glass in the air right. and say, I want to make a toast to the good year that our family has had.
Right.
Maybe, like they said in that first paragraph, there's been a new member born into the family, or there's
right.
been a wedding or something. Let's remember that and toast yeah. to this good thing that's happened in our family. That's something my family does.
Sure, yeah. And, I mean, it's usually associated with the idea of giving a blessing, right? And
right.
we do that in the Chinese culture as well. You know, with, we don't necessarily... it's oftentimes it's like a teacup or something, not necessarily
sure.
a wine glass. But
oh, okay.
I think in many cultures there is this concept of raising a glass or some sort of a libation, a drink, right, and
mm-hmm.
toasting and giving a blessing or kind of sharing things that you're thankful for.
Mm-hmm.
And as this article says, a lot can happen in a year. And Pauline, you already mentioned that, you know, a new member is born, or maybe we lost a member, you know, they've passed on, or someone overcame a major disease or overcame a big event in their life. And these are all things to be thankful for and things to celebrate. And actually, yeah, when we talk about toasting, it's usually done at a celebration, right?
Mm-hmm.
A wedding or a birthday, some sort of thing where you want to recognize someone, okay? And it says here that the sentiment will strike a chord with everyone. First, what is a sentiment?
I think it's a feeling, right? This feeling will
mm-hmm.
be shared, or
right.
maybe it's a combination of feeling and thought, but
mm-hmm.
I definitely feel like there's a feeling included along with the
right.
actual words or
yeah.
thought that's being expressed.
Right, so the sentiment is this expression of thanksgiving, right? Will strike a chord with everyone. What are we talking about here?
Well, in music, a chord is... it's when a bunch of different musical pitches and notes come together into something that is very pleasing to our ear.
Right.
The notes, if you want to get into the science, there's all kinds of vibrations in the airwaves and all this stuff, but we don't need to get into that. We just need to know that these notes work well together, and they work in harmony to make something better than each individual note, and strike a chord. In our vocabulary focus, it says if something strikes a chord, it causes people to agree with it or approve of it. So,
right.
Another word that I think of, which is a sort of a big word, is just to resonate with.
Yeah.
That's the word I tend to use most frequently.
Yeah.
Oh, I really resonate with that, meaning I agree, and not only, again, do I not only agree mentally, but I have some kind of agreeing sense of feeling with that. Like,
right.
oh, we kind of have the same feeling
yeah.
on that.
Yeah. So someone says something or does something, and it causes you to have a feeling, right? You kind of like, oh, yeah, I agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Or, that was really good, and it strikes a chord. It means something to you.
Right.
Okay. All right. So that's something you can do with your family. What is something you can do with your friends? Well, it says you can do what you always do. What do we always do?
Throw a party.
Right. So we have a story here of two women, right? Heather Schild and Nosheen Hidari. And what did they do?
Well, they threw a dinner party, especially for their friends around Thanksgiving time, because they noticed that a lot of their friends live too far away from home, it sounds like, to be able to go home for the traditional family Thanksgiving. So they
right.
decided to make a special friends Thanksgiving dinner party.
Right, yeah. And so it just came about the idea that they enjoyed having parties, and then they realized they had a lot of friends who weren't able to go home for Thanksgiving. You know, for our listeners here in Asia, it would be like if you weren't able to go home for Chinese New Year. You know, that's usually traditionally a time when we spend a lot of time with our family. So instead of, you know, traveling and being with your family, they decided to come together as friends and kind of as a community and celebrate together. And this is a great way to show your Thanksgiving by, you know, doing something nice for your friends and doing something nice for others in your community. And according to Shilb, what does she say about this tradition?
She says, we are all old now and have jobs and don't get to see each other that much, so this has become a time to be with each other.
Right. So in a way, they've kind of formed their own family, Right, and I know a lot of us who are living abroad, you know, and living away from our family, we kind of tend to do that, right? We here in Taipei, you know, a lot of us English teachers, we will come together because we're not usually able to fly back to the States to celebrate Thanksgiving with our family. So we will have our own Thanksgiving and kind of have our own family time here. So it's a great way to express your gratitude by doing something to help others and to gather a community together. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's finish up our article and let's look at tip number 3 and 4.
Number 3, community. You could volunteer at a local soup kitchen or bring food to a food pantry. But if you're going to be traveling, you could always turn your celebration into a good cause. This year, Shild and Hadari are asking their guests to offer a monetary donation, which they will donate to help low-income families during the holidays. Number 4, self. Look back on your recent accomplishments. Quit racing for the next promotion or raise and pat yourself on the back for the ones you just got. Take a look at the debts you paid off, the friends you've made, or whatever significant personal milestones you may have passed.
Okay, so we are going through some steps of gratitude here. So first we started with the family, learning how to express gratitude within the family, giving a toast, raising a glass, right? Then we talked about our friends and maybe gathering your friends together to celebrate together and helping each other, you know, especially when maybe some of your friends aren't able to go home to their families. So creating a family dynamic within your friends. Okay, now number 3 here is community. And what are we talking about when we're talking about expressing our gratitude within our community?
Well, according to the article, we should give back to our community. Mm-hmm. And that's how we should say thanks to our community doing stuff for us. And we should, in turn, start doing things to help others maybe in our community.
Sure.
So they say volunteer at a local soup kitchen or bring food to a food pantry as examples.
Yeah, great examples. So what is a soup kitchen exactly, Pauline?
Well, I think a soup kitchen used to literally serve soup uh-huh. to people who were in need of absolute basics like food, uh-huh. who maybe were on the streets or didn't have jobs. Now it's used more generally just to describe any not-for-profit that's providing some sort of food to those in need.
Right. Yeah. Okay. And to go along with that, we're also talking about a food pantry. Now, what is a food pantry?
Well, normally when we talk about our own personal food pantry, it's an area of the house where we keep canned food, dried food, any food that doesn't need to be in a refrigerator or needs to be kept cold.
Mm-hmm.
However, when we're referring to a food pantry like in the sense of a community,
mm-hmm.
it's sort of more of a food pantry in the same sense where they keep dried food and canned food. However, it's usually run by an organization that distributes the food to lower income people, to those who maybe can't afford food,
right.
to those who can't afford housing and need food. It's usually a part of maybe a soup kitchen that's run by the same organization, but rather than being a specific location, it's just sort of a general thing that you give to and then they, at frequent or infrequent times, hand it out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe the biggest distinction between a food pantry and a soup kitchen, I think you guys can help confirm my understanding. My understanding is that a food pantry, like Brendan said, is more of your dried food, food that people are going to bring back to their house and prepare later
right.
and use for foods back at home,
right.
versus the soup kitchen would be more prepared meals
right.
that
mm-hmm.
you're going to sit down and eat there right then and there.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, the difference between a restaurant versus a grocery store.
Exactly. But
right.
both,
yeah.
in this case, free being given to those in need within your neighborhood.
Right. Exactly. So it's a great way to help out your community. And I think the point here is that when we express our gratitude, it can be more than just words. It can be about taking action and doing things, right? Realizing that you yourself have been blessed with a lot and you have a lot of excess, and perhaps now you can share some of that with other people.
I agree. I find that the phrase, actions speak louder than words, mm-hmm. is very true. And if you say you're thankful or you thank someone for something, that's one thing. But if you turn around and you do something for them,
right.
it really shows that you do in fact care. And
right.
I think that is a very powerful statement in and of itself.
Yeah. And the other phrase of paying it forward, right? You've been blessed with a lot of things and now you get to use that. Use those blessings to bless other people. And that's what we say here, that if you're going to be traveling, you could always turn your celebration into a good cause, right? So use that opportunity to help other people. And again, we hear about Shild and Hidari, and they're asking their guests to do what?
They ask their guests to consider bringing in a monetary donation, so some money that they'll donate to help low-income families during the holidays. So that is a really sweet way to acknowledge the fact that while they're having this wonderful feast all together mm-hmm. in a warm house, that there are others maybe very nearby within communities near
right.
them that don't have housing, don't have the excess money, finances to have a great feast. So
right.
they're saying, well, maybe they're not able to coordinate and get all together at one soup kitchen to volunteer,
right.
but they all have a little extra money they can give towards some organization that's going to dedicate themselves to making sure others get to have a similar kind of event.
Right. Yeah. And I think when we do that, we kind of are more aware of just how blessed we really are. You know, a lot of times when we look at what other people have that we don't have, we end up being very dissatisfied. But when we realize that we have things that other people don't have, then that actually kind of goes to cause us to be more grateful.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay. And lastly, we talk about self. And the tip here is to look back on your recent accomplishments. What are we talking about when we're talking about accomplishments?
I would say you could, one word synonym would just be your successes.
Right.
The things that you have done well, that you are proud of, that
mm-hmm.
have happened recently in your life.
Right. So maybe you got a new job, or as we see here, you got a promotion or a raise. You know, let's take time to celebrate those things, right? And it says, pat yourself on the back. Now, that's a little hard to do literally. What do we mean when we're talking about pat yourself on the back?
I think that another phrase that could work really well would be to just sort of treat yourself due to, you know, congratulating yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulate yourself probably would be the closest synonym to
mm-hmm.
this phrase, but As we've said, you know, actions are, you know, better than words. And if I just say, good job, Brendan, you did a good thing
mm-hmm.
doing that to that person, it doesn't exactly have the same impact as going, okay, I've successfully finished this project. I'm going to go and celebrate with a movie or something
mm-hmm.
that might not necessarily be something that I do all the time due
mm-hmm.
to budget reasons or whatever, but
mm-hmm.
in this scenario, I think it's worth it because I have worked really hard and achieved something very important to me at this time.
Right. Yeah. So we can use this phrase not just with ourselves. You can pat someone else on the back, right?
Mm-hmm.
When someone's done something good, you could say, hey, you know, I'm proud of you. Great job. And that is, in essence, you're patting them on the back. And sometimes we do it literally. You know, you give someone a pat on the back, or you just do it with your words, or as Brendan was saying, you might take action and celebrate by doing something. Now, in this case, we're telling you to pat yourself on the back, right? So say, you know, taking time to acknowledge, like, hey, I did good this year. That was a great thing that happened. And it can be anything, right? Here we give some more examples. You paid off some debts, or you've made some new friends, or you've hit some significant personal milestones. These are all things that are worth celebrating. What are milestones? What are some examples of milestones?
So when I hear milestones, I think of major life events.
Right.
So usually I think of a milestone as something like getting married,
right.
having a kid,
mm-hmm.
maybe turning a certain age that kind of like pass, you know, you pass a decade mark. So
right.
when you turn 50 or
right.
40, it's a milestone. That's,
right.
that's what I usually think of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I actually had to have a much smaller view of milestones. Not necessarily, okay, maybe not much smaller, but I find that for me, who is someone who's very work-focused, milestones are parts in a project that I'm working on where something significant has come together and now we can really move forward a lot better.
Right.
So that isn't necessarily pertaining to life.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, getting married is a huge milestone.
Right.
But I tend, again, I'm much more sort of, I don't think as far ahead, so I guess maybe my view is a little bit stunted on that front.
Hmm. Yeah, so the phrase milestone, actually, I believe it comes from the Roman Empire days, right, the Roman road, and they actually used to have literal milestones on the road so you knew how far you traveled. And eventually that kind of idea got converted into more of an abstract concept as the idea of life being a journey, right? And you have these significant events that happen along your life, and they kind of become markers for how far you've lived, how far you've come. And we often talk about milestones with children, right? Mm-hmm. So the first time they talk, the first time they walk, and these are all developmental milestones. Or as Pauline said, you know, when you get married, or when you have your first child, these are all markers in your life, so they become milestones. And as Brendan said, you can have milestones in projects too, you know. Mm-hmm. As you do little things, you like, okay, this is when I accomplish this part of the project and now we can move forward, right? So little markers that help you remember what happened as time passed.
But something that I've noticed in all of your examples is that whatever you might be marking with the milestone, there is a change.
Mm-hmm.
And the change is usually pretty significant in some way.
Yep.
I don't know about you, but having a kid probably would change your life a lot.
Oh, it did.
So, and same with getting married. You have made a contract with someone that's going to change your life.
Right.
So.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, the idea of the milestone, right? It's a marker. It's the marker for when your life moved forward and you transitioned into the next phase of life. And these are all things that we can celebrate.
Yeah, and I really like the idea of there being a moment where you're really intentional about reflecting on the milestones you've passed, being grateful for those different phases that you've been through in life, acknowledging the moment that you're in, and being grateful for that. And of course, looking ahead towards, you know, December, January, we get towards New Year's resolutions, and people start thinking about what they have to get done and what they need to change. It's nice before that to think about what's good in your life and what you have accomplished.
For sure. All right, so we hope that today's lesson has helped some of you to think of some ways that you can be thankful and to express your gratitude. We have another lesson about being grateful tomorrow, so we hope that you will come back and join us. But for now, it's time for us to say goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye.